This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A new fellowship at the University of Cincinnati's College of Medicine aims to help future doctors become experts in LGBTQ+ medicine. The new Sawyer Pardo Fellowship Endowment Fund for LGBTQ+ Health will provide funding for expanded training at UC's medical school. Lack of training is a problem nationwide and contributes to the health disparities and negative experiences with doctors that many LGBTQ+ patients face. Joining me to discuss the fellowship and why it's needed are UC Health Physician and UC College of Medicine Associate Professor of Family and Community Medicine, Dr. Sarah Pickle. Welcome, Dr. Pickle.
Thanks for having us.
University of Roehampton student and UC Health patient, Sawyer Pardo. Thanks for being here, Sawyer. And Chief Operating Officer for Clever Crazes for Kids, which is part of Building Healthy Lives Foundation, and she's Sawyer's mom, Phoebe Pardo. Welcome, Phoebe.
Thank you for having us, Lucy.
The University of Cincinnati is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. And if you have questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Dr. Pickle, I'd like to start with you. First, explain to us how much or how little training happens in U.S. medical schools when it comes to LGBTQ+ care.
Physician training, both in the medical school and the residency training, which is what physicians do right after medical school, has historically been very limited in the foundational components of LGBTQ care. And despite the last few decades where we have started to recognize the expansive human experience when it comes to gender and sex and sexuality, we are still falling short. One in three U.S. medical schools includes 0 hours of curriculum about LGBTQ care. And on average, the hours are about five. That's 5 hours in the thousands of hours that our medical students spend. So we have so much farther to go.
And what about transgender patients in particular?
So for patients who are transgender and seeking care, this is an area where we need many more medical providers with knowledge and expertise in order to be able to provide high-quality gender-affirming care. We know that the number of medical students who finish medical school and who finish residency prepared to help patients in their gender journey is really limited, and our fellowship aims to be part of the solution.
Mm. Sawyer, I want to talk to you from your perspective as a patient who is transgender. What problems arise from that lack of training?
Just this really fundamental, I think, misunderstanding or lack of understanding overall about what to do when somebody who is transgender walks into a doctor's office, into the room. I've been on testosterone for a long time. I'm coming up on 7 years, and it took a really long time of figuring out different levels and checking my results to figure out that my ovaries had just never shut down, which was causing a lot of these like residual medical issues that I was having. So it's things like that can be kind of scary or dangerous because they just don't even know to check for that.
Hmm. Yeah, you mentioned. Are there other examples of things that can kind of go wrong that, you know, when a doctor doesn't have that experience and doesn't know to check for those things?
Yeah, I know. I know someone who is seeing a doctor who, just because there is such a lack of training, there were very, very few doctors that he could go to that had any kind of skill. And she ended up just being like really overworked and ended up mixing up his file with someone else's. And he, you know, nearly went into kidney failure just because he wasn't getting the correct results and there wasn't the capacity to be paying attention to him as like a fully formed person who needed attentive medical care.
Yeah. So Sora, I understand you're a patient of Dr. Pickle's right now. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's been like a seriously incredible experience compared to some of the things that I know can happen.
Yeah.
Walk into a doctor's office.
Can you tell us more about what that patient-doctor relationship has meant to you?
Yeah, I think that as a trans person, before I even transitioned, I knew that there would be a big gap in understanding. To see a doctor who is willing to actually really like listen to what my goals are and what I want, and to be so attentive to any of the little things that can, you know, get complicated or go, you know, potentially wrong. I'm really sensitive to medications and to hormones in general. So, you know, it's a huge balancing act for me, and to have a doctor who really like understands that healthcare truly impacts every aspect of quality of life is like genuinely life-changing.
I bet. Well, and Phoebe, as Sawyer's mom, what did you look for in healthcare providers when he was a teen?
That's a really good question, because I think as a parent, the first thing that you want to do is make sure that your child is going to be safe. Lots of questions come into mind about what type of a doctor is the right type of a doctor. A parent has to learn if there's an LGBTQ physician center in the area. We were lucky that we did have one. Sawyer was on the cusp of being a young man at that point in time in terms of age. And we quickly heard about Dr. Pickle. We knew we were very lucky because we knew that Dr. Pickle would be able to serve Sawyer in a way that I didn't have enough information to go out and ask the pertinent questions of a physician. Mm-hmm. So knowing Dr. Pickle and all the accolades she had received, our family knew that Sawyer was in very good care. And we also know that from that very good care, as Sawyer has moved since graduating from high school in Cincinnati to other cities in the country, we realized really how lucky we were that Dr. Pickle had been a part of Sawyer's transition, because she set the bar for what we could look for in other cities and never really found anybody of equal stature in terms of commitment to the LGBTQ and particularly the trans patients.
What kind of relief was that for you as a parent, Phoebe? And I ask because, you know, I'm a parent too. And as a parent, you worry about a bazillion things when you have a child that you love, no matter how old they get and what they're going through. And healthcare is certainly a huge part of it. What kind of relief was that for you to find Dr. Pickle and feel so confident in the care she was providing?
Well, it was tremendous because Sawyer is a very healthy young person. And when we knew that we were going to be entering into an area of need that we as parents are not experts in, and we have to sometimes let that go, that we're not experts in everything, that we were putting Sawyer in the hands of somebody who could lead Sawyer through the transition safely. I think there's a big fear from parents about what is safe for your child. And if you are not sure or confident in the medical direction that your child is being given, then, as Sawyer was mentioning earlier, really swings in hormones can be tremendous. Or even for a very healthy person, there still needs to be, you know, you have to have the right body mechanic. You have to have the right physician who can tell you what's going on in your body, even not considering the transition, just regular doctor's visits that don't have to do with anything LGBTQ specific. You know, you have to look out for all sorts of nutritional components to your lifestyle, exercise components to your lifestyle, typical blood work that any patient would have. All these things we could get with Dr. Pickle that we weren't sure we were in a position to be able to search out, because we didn't know the right questions to ask. Dr. Pickle has educated Sawyer so much. Sawyer's done plenty of his own education, obviously, but between Sawyer and Dr. Pickle, our family, and in particular, Sawyer's father and grandmother, who is a very big part of this, Diane Dunkelman, we have learned that if we have questions, we can ask Sawyer or we can ask Dr. Pickle, and we really get a full picture of what we're asking about.
We're talking about the importance of medical training for LGBTQ plus health with UC Health Physician and UC College of Medicine Associate Professor of Family and Community Medicine, Dr. Sarah Pickle, University of Roehampton student and UC Health patient, Sawyer Pardo, and Chief Operating Officer of Clever Crazes for Kids, which is a part of Building Healthy Lives Foundation, and she's also Sawyer's mom, Phoebe Pardo. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Sawyer, I understand that you began working to really educate your mom, and your grandmother, your other family members about health disparities between LGBTQ plus patients and non-LGBTQ plus patients. Tell me about that process and what inspired you to really help raise your family's awareness in that regard.
I mean, honestly, the answer to this one is pretty straightforward. It's really just that I was going through it. And I think experiencing that can be, you know, I'm in my early 20s now, but I started this when I was like 17, maybe. And I think to see, you know, to be on that edge of adulthood and really feel like, oh my God, I'm like creating my own life. And I am, you know, confident, you know, that transitioning is the absolute right choice for me. And that has, you know, never wavered, despite whatever, you know, whatever health issues that I might've been having or need to figure out how to do testosterone in the way that was best for me. But, you know, to be at that age, I think I really felt like having the support of my family was really important. And also, you know, I was still pretty much a kid. Like I was a little bit scared. And I think I felt a lot better having them understand why I wanted them to, you know, back me up in everything I was saying, not just in like a pure, you know, I'm supportive of my trans kid way, but more in a, you know, I'm navigating these things that are complicated. And like, to be honest, you know, I wanted my parents.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, we're gonna talk more about the fellowship and fund in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll talk about how to reduce food waste this holiday season while helping neighbors in need. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our conversation about the importance of medical training for LGBTQ plus health with UC Health Physician and UC College of Medicine Associate Professor of Family and Community Medicine, Dr. Sarah Pickle, University of Roehampton student and UC Health patient, Sawyer Pardo, and COO of Clever Crazes for Kids, which is part of Building Healthy Lives Foundation, and she's Sawyer's mom, Phoebe Pardo. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. So we were talking about how you were educating your family about these disparities between LGBTQ plus patients and patients who are not LGBTQ plus. Phoebe, I understand that after learning more about this, you and your mom, Diane Dunkelman, launched this fellowship fund. Talk a bit about what inspired that.
This has been very exciting for us because of Sawyer's needs and Sawyer's moving to the other cities where he wasn't able to access the healthcare and meeting friends within the LGBTQ plus community who were struggling to do so. We realized that we had a great situation because Sawyer has the support of his family and he has a fabulous doctor in Cincinnati that he can always come home to. What became evident through getting to know Dr. Pickle was that this had been a goal of hers for a very long time to create the fellowship. And what Diane and I have done for a good 25 years through some other foundations that we were running at different times during those years was finding ways to fund unmet needs. And Diane is amazing at creating avenues to make that happen. So we were in a position to start something for ourselves where we were making contributions personally, but a continuation from the past 25 years of funding unmet needs. And as we move along that path it's become very important to us that we do that within the world of health, well-being, and personal safety. And this was a very great dovetail fit because the need is so vast. And what Dr. Pickle wants to do is start with one fellow, and I'm sure she will do a better job than I will, of explaining the vision for how that will bloom.
Yeah, Dr. Pickle, please do explain, how will this fellowship work in terms of training people, and what kinds of training will it include?
Yeah, so this fellowship is, as Sawyer has said and Phoebe have said, is really the culmination of so many patient narratives and stories and really work that the Cincinnati LGBTQ community has been doing to raise awareness in their community on what health disparities exist. So this fellowship is our response. It's that we're listening and that we're doing our part to be an agent of change. We really envision this fellow to be a leader in LGBTQ medicine. The idea is if we train a national leader in clinical care, in advocacy, in research and education, that we then are able to create a ripple effect. So as that fellow who will be a physician who has already finished a certain part of their training, they will then be able to be part of our community, but then future communities where maybe there aren't LGBTQ care champions. And that's the point that Sawyer raised, is that all of our patients deserve to have a clinician champion who is part of their journey. We hear from so many people that they have to educate their physicians on LGBTQ medicine, and patients should be able to educate their physician on what is best for them. We should be listening to that, but the medical knowledge and being able to move the healthcare landscape for LGBTQ folks through dedicated research that includes LGBTQ communities, that is our job, and that's what this fellowship aims to do.
Mm. And so do I understand correctly that you'll have a fellow, but then that fellow will also be training residents at the same time. Is that right? Talk about that ripple effect.
What's really unique about this fellowship is it comes at this perfect time where the Department of Family and Community Medicine is opening a new residency. So we're already kind of on this multi-layer of addressing unmet needs, of increasing access to primary care, of increasing access to LGBTQ care. So this fellowship will be embedded within our new residency, which has a health equity focus. So one fellow will be able to train over time 18 residents. And then those residents will build their patient panel. So what we're really talking about is increased access that then carries on beyond our region.
Mm. Sawyer, this fund is named for you. I wonder, what does that feel like? What do you think about that? You know, you're a very young man. You're just starting out in life, but you already have this really important fellowship fund that's named in your honor.
Yeah, that's, I'm not going to lie, that's absolutely insane for me to like even think about and conceptualize, because like living my life like day to day, right? I'm just like, I'm pretty much just some guy in most ways. And, you know, it's times when I talk to people, you know, who maybe don't actually know that I'm transgender, but I realize that my world is so different from theirs, that it reminds me again and again and again of this, I guess, idea that I myself and everybody else, you know, in my position is doing something really different and, you know, in ways really hard, but in other ways, really, really special. And I think that it keeps bringing me back to this core point of like, everybody in my position should feel like this right now, because there are so many things about it that are hard with, you know, like difficult, you know, legislative measures. And there's a lot of, you know, rising anti-trans sentiments in a lot of ways, in a lot of places. And I think that when you're not trans, it's actually really hard to realize how heavily that can impact a person, to constantly be a subject of debate and to constantly, you know, hear people talk about you when you're right there in the room is really strange. And I think that it makes me feel so much more convicted in the idea that everybody who is making these changes in their lives or is transitioning or has transitioned should feel like they're doing something, you know, big enough to be honored in that way. I got lucky. I really did in terms of actually falling into that position. But the reality is that I'm not doing anything that any of these other people also aren't doing in their lives in so many ways. And everybody deserves the time, care, and attention that I've been so insanely grateful to receive.
Can you talk more about, I've got a twofold question, more about those challenges when you're talking with people who are not trans or maybe not even LGBTQ, and the kind of the different things, the difference that you feel then, I guess, between yourself and the people that you're talking with and how that weighs on you. But I also want you to talk about, you know, kind of the way you can celebrate what you're doing, because, you know, doing what you've done takes some courage. You have to some dedication to work through the medical things to really make these, you know, the changes that allow you to be who you are. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I think it's a lot of little things like all the time, I guess, which is part of why it's hard, because it's like that saying that, you know, you can hold a glass for like 30 seconds and it doesn't feel heavy, but like the longer you do it and the more it piles up, the more you're like, wow, this is actually like, I don't want to hold this anymore. So it's a lot of little comments like, you know, like I'm involved in sports at my university and I'll be sitting with people and, you know, they'll be talking about like, oh, like I understand, you know, why people would be uncomfortable with a trans woman being on the women's team. And I'm sitting there, you know, at this table, like, all right, you know, how do I involve myself in this in a way that, you know, doesn't, you know, because I don't really think that that's a fair question or a mm-hmm. fair debate, you know, to be talking about, you know, people like that. But it's also like, how do I involve myself in a way that doesn't necessarily put myself in a tight spot, doesn't get me kicked off of my team, you know, and also stands up for the things I believe in without getting called out. And like, I'm not massively short, but I'm also not as tall as a lot of the guys I'm around. And there's a lot of things like that, that I'm like, oh my God, well, if I like let one thing slip, then they're going to like start putting things together and then it's going to be weird for me. And like, you know, I don't want to be a subject of debate. I want to just, you know, play my sports and, you know, go to my classes and like be a normal person. Or it's things like, you know, you hear like somebody talking about like, oh, XYZ, like, you know, a rumor about somebody, you know, being trans. And it's like, why is this even gossip? You know what I mean? And I think it's stuff like that, that I'm like, in those moments that I'm like, wow, like people just really, truly don't understand that this isn't like a theoretical topic. It's like human being people living their own lives, who aren't out to get anybody, who aren't trying to hurt anybody, who are just trying to like play sports or, you know, make art or cook food or, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, you know, and do it in peace. And I think that's why, ironically, it's really important to, you know, at this stage of the game, talk about these things and also, you know, have your own boundaries and limitations when it comes to talking about them, because yeah, we want people to understand, but it's like, you're also not like, you know, you don't want to become like a vending machine for like, you know, other people to just like take things apart about you and talk about you. But like, you have to make them understand in order not to do that. So it's this big catch 22.
Yeah. Well, and Sawyer, you mentioned that you're in your early 20s now. Have you started thinking about, you know, what happens when you're 26 and you might have to change insurance providers? Are you looking to stick with Dr. Pickle as long as you can?
Yeah, well, I hopefully would like to stay with Dr. Pickle as long as I absolutely can. I just, at this point, I've been with her since I was 18, 17, 18. And it's like, you kind of can't beat that like multi-year level of repertoire with someone that you so trust. Because I basically walked into the room and she was like, all right, you know, what do we want? What do you want? And how can we get you there? And to be looked at and immediately taken seriously, you know, not like, vetted for how valid my transition was, or shot down because I was, you know, maybe nervous about one thing or another, was really like, you just, I mean, that's, it's really incredible. And it, to answer the other part of the question, yeah, the threat of real insurance independent adulthood is looming. But I really, yeah, I really hope to have a way to be able to keep using Dr. Pickle's resources and the relationship that we've built together, because it's really special.
Well, and one more question for you, Sawyer. What do you hope the impact of this fellowship fund will be? I guess I wonder, are there problems you hope other LGBTQ plus people will avoid as a result of this, and positive medical encounters that they'll experience as a result?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the, you know, pitfall with having, you know, a medical situation that's less understood is that when physicians and providers don't have the background of training to come into it with knowledge and expertise, they end up looking at you like a science experiment. And I've, you know, that's something that in other situations, not with Dr. Pickle, but has been said to me by providers, and it's been really jarring to be like, wait, I'm coming to you with like for help. And it's hard to have someone be like, well, try it out, we'll see, I don't know. And it's like, wait, that's not, you can't do that. Like, and I think that, you know, that at the level of being provided for is, you know, a massive improvement the more that we can avoid that. Even more so though, like, there are waiting lists, especially for, you know, trans teens who are, these waiting lists are like 3 years long, you know, 3-5 years long, sometimes more than that. And it's like, when I think about it, you know, and this is a little, you know, morbid, but like, that's, you know, realistically, like, that's going to kill somebody. Mm. Like, you know, there are people who can't wait that long. There are kids who are like 15 years old who are like, 3 years is an inconceivable length of time to try to see somebody, you know, for 15 minutes to even get evaluated if they can like start testosterone or not. And I think that like, once we realize, you know, as a society that like these problems aren't even within these insular circumstances of provider and patient, like the healthcare issues start because no one's even, you know, not literally no one, but historically there have been so few people who have been wanting to pay attention, that you've got all these people who just need to be seen because they've been waiting for years, you know?
Yeah. I've been talking with UC Health physician and UC College of Medicine Associate Professor of Family and Community Medicine, Dr. Sarah Pickle, University of Roehampton student and UC Health patient Sawyer Pardo, and COO of Clever Crazes for Kids, which is part of the Building Healthy Lives Foundation. She's also Sawyer's mom, Phoebe Pardo. Thank you all so much for your time today. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much.
Up next, we'll talk about reducing food waste this holiday season while helping neighbors in need. This is Cincinnati Edition.